It is a great joy in this day to share in that message. I just got a question that I think it kind of happens when you're unwrapping presents on Christmas morning, rather. Have you ever been disappointed by something you unwrapped? You know, you maybe were going, what were they thinking? Or maybe you were going, am I really that big? You know, or that's really not my color. Or, you know, I thought I was better than that. Somewhere in there, we've all kind of experienced that disappointed moment, have we not? When the thing that we most hoped for, just didn't happen. Disappointment is a real thing, and it doesn't just come with presents. I mean, we get disappointed not just by decorations and not by just the fact that Amazon didn't deliver our package on time or UPS didn't get there. It is more than that. There is a disappointment sometimes that creeps in on us that, well, maybe everything just didn't happen in our hearts even the way that we thought that it was going to. We realize that something, even if everything went perfect, that something was still missing. Ever been there? Even when it all came off, it was just like, but. Now Paul, the Apostle Paul, when he writes to the church, the first century church, and he's writing them about being disappointed, Paul's words are not comfy, or, you know, they're not touchy-feely kind of words. Paul was not that kind of guy. If you want to read somebody to make you feel good, don't read Paul, all right? It is not going to come out well for you, okay? But because Paul just kind of, he basically says, get over it, which is not what you want to hear whenever you're disappointed, right? But here's what Paul says. He's really kind of saying, get your head on. You know, when he says to the Philippians in chapter 4, verse 4, always be full of joy in the Lord. I say again, rejoice. Yeah, really not touchy-feely, is it? But he's writing from prison, for crying out loud. And he's telling us to always be full of joy. Now, he's not telling us always be happy. He doesn't say to us, you're always going to get everything you want in life. He doesn't say it's always going to be easy. But he is telling us to rejoice. That our happiness or disappointment, those are often based on circumstances in life. And when those things don't go well, then it's hard to be happy, even when we get disappointed. But joy exists outside of our circumstances, amen? Joy has a different place that it comes from. It has a different place that it resides. It's rooted in something that's greater and exists even when we are not happy. Take Mary, for instance. And this is the scripture that is in your program today, which is not the one I'm going to preach from. Take Mary. That was my fault, not the typist. Take Mary, though. She has this angel that comes to her, Angel Gabriel, and he tells her this wonderful news that she's pregnant. Now, I'm not thinking at that moment that she heard that as joy. Right? I'm not married. I haven't even been with a man. I don't understand how this can happen. And you're telling me that I'm going to give birth to God's son. Yeah, nothing scary about that. Nothing to make me anxious here. I mean, it's almost like nothing to see here, right? I mean, that's the spot she finds herself in. I'm thinking that joy was not her first response. And we kind of get a picture for that because she runs off right away. Just a few days later, she runs off to see her cousin Elizabeth, who also got the same kind of news. And Elizabeth was old at that time. Now imagine if you were in your 60s or 70s and you found out you were pregnant. Would you call that a joy? I'm thinking maybe not, right? It'd be miraculous, yeah. But joy, and yet, this is what happens, and this is what where we pick up the story, Luke 1, verse 39. A few days later, Mary hurried to the hill country of Judea, to the town where Zechariah lived. And she entered the house, and she greeted Elizabeth. And at the sound of Mary's greeting, Elizabeth's child leaped within her. And Elizabeth was filled with what? The Holy Spirit. She was filled with the joy of that Spirit. And Elizabeth gave a glad cry and exclaimed to Mary, God has blessed you above all women, and your child is blessed. Why am I so honored that the mother of my Lord should visit me? She already knew. When I heard your greeting, the baby in my womb jumped for joy. You are blessed because you believed that the Lord would do what he said. Oh, isn't that a line? You are blessed because you believed that the Lord would do what he said. I mean, Elizabeth, she's experiencing so much joy in this moment. Now, maybe some of you who remember that Zechariah was struck where he couldn't speak, you're saying that's why she was joyful. Her husband couldn't talk. It was great. But no. Here is the reason. She experienced so much joy that her baby, and who's the baby inside of her? John the Baptist. This baby inside of her, John the Baptist, leaps for joy inside of her. She is so happy with this news. She is so joy-filled with this moment. Mary's moved by joy too. She doesn't even know that it's joy yet within her, and she's moved to go see Elizabeth. Now, we know in the verses that come right after this that Mary's heart sings out a beautiful song of joy to God in praise of what God is doing. There is this moment, this utter feeling of joy, even when things around are still unknown. I think it's because they discover that joy really comes from somewhere outside of us. In fact, we know that joy exists in the realm of the Prince of Peace. Now just think about that for a minute. Joy exists in the realm of the Prince of Peace, the realm of that King. The Prince of Peace, Jesus, is really the source of our joy. He is the one who comes. He is the one who is God with us. He is the one whose birth we celebrate. And we know joy when we know him. Maybe you didn't hear that. We know joy when we know him. Amen? We celebrate that in that day. You know, nothing can stop that kind of joy. You know, now I watched on the news and I've been reading in my kind of things where I've discovered that they're not going to have and celebrate Christmas in Bethlehem this year. And I'm just thinking, you know, you can't stop Christmas. Just because you say you're not going to celebrate can't stop Jesus from coming. Amen? It can't stop us from experiencing even in the midst of war, even in the midst of terrible things happening, it cannot stop us from experiencing the joy of God being with us. That Jesus comes, that Jesus came, that Jesus is here, and one day will come again in person. Nothing can stop that. Why? Because Jesus is our King. Now, the prophet Isaiah, he describes in that ninth chapter that Jesus is going to come, like the choir sang of, as a prince of peace. But he's not just a future king. No, no, if you read on, Isaiah describes him in ways that he means he has power now. He is on the throne now. He is the king now. He says the government is going to be upon his shoulders. That's not something that's in the future. That's something that is here and now. Isaiah 9, verse 7. It says, of the increase of his government and of the peace, there will be no end. On the throne of David and over the kingdom, to establish it, to uphold it with justice and with righteousness, from this time forth and forevermore, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this. This is a now kind of thing already. This isn't Jesus waiting for an opportunity. This isn't us saying, well, it's never going to come together until he comes again. No, this is a, he is king now. Magi understood that. When they came looking for Jesus, what did they ask for? Where is he? King of the Jews. They all knew that. That's why Herod was so nervous. We are assured that both here and in Isaiah, and in all of Scripture, that there is nothing outside of God's authority, nothing outside of God's possibility. Amen? Here and now, this is happening. God has no limitations. Nothing is impossible for God. Remember what Elizabeth said to Mary, and you believe that God would do it. We find joy outside ourselves, not just because he's king, but because we find joy in his limitless power. When we are disappointed, we're often disappointed that we weren't able to accomplish something. Amen? We're often disappointed that we had limits. We ran out of time. We ran out of talent. We're often disappointed because someone else had limits. They weren't able to deliver. They weren't able to come through. They weren't able to make it happen. But Jesus has limitless power. On the Prince of Peace has the ability to make all things happen. And he's able to accomplish those things. I love this passage from Isaiah chapter 55, verse 8. When we're reminded, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts. I'm glad God thinks thoughts higher than mine. How about you? Woo! I know it's a pretty low bar, but I'm glad God thinks things greater than me. I'm glad God is capable of things beyond me. How about you? I'm glad that God's ways are not my ways. I'm glad my ways are not the ways of our federal government. I'm glad that God's ways are not the ways that we interact with each other, that they are more than that. How about you? Our joy is not determined then by our limitations, and it's not determined by our ability to plan, you know, and to bring our own dreams into being. Our joy is dependent upon God's dream coming into being. God even reminds us in Isaiah 46 that we may have to leave some of our dreams behind. He says, remember the former things of old, for I am God and there is no other. I am God and there is none like me, declaring the end from the beginning and from ancient times, things that not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand and I will accomplish all my purpose. God says, I'm going to do it. And that reminds us then that our joy comes to us because Jesus is our faithful King. I'm going to do it. I'm going to make it happen. I'm going to bring these things into being. Paul writes to the Romans, he writes about how it is that all creation is groaning, groaning with the pains of childbirth, groaning in anticipation for what is to come, groaning wanting the more to come into being. Now, when you think about it, isn't that what we do when we're disappointed? We groan. Okay, you may call it whine. But we groan, do we not? We groan when we hurt. We groan when we're disappointed. We groan when it doesn't all come together. We're longing for that something more, because we know that there is something still more to come. And that's the hope that the Prince of Peace brings. It's the fulfillment of a glorious promise. And it's not a promise that's only fulfilled in part. It's a promise that is fulfilled in the whole. For he is the Prince of Peace that brings all of those things. And we find our joy in those certain promises. The promise, I will be with you. Oh, just feels good, doesn't it? The promise, I will never leave you. The promise, for I know your name. I have called you by name, and you are mine. The promise, I will forgive their sins and remember them no more. The promise, I will deliver them from all things. Oh, those are promises that, I mean, can you just feel that kind of come over you at this moment? Is there a part of you that just says, oh, I wish that were true. Oh, if that could only happen right now. And it is it not? And when it happens, we experience joy. Joy that the world cannot take away. Joy that is fulfilling and joy that overwhelms us. If you know emptiness and brokenness today, look outside yourself to the things that only God can do and let him fill you. If you're feeling alone today, hear that certain promise of God, I am with you. For our Prince of Peace keeps his great promises. For he is a Savior. He is a mighty God. He is an everlasting Father for us. And he will never leave us. Because Jesus is our good King and fills us with joy. The writer of James says, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow or due change. So when you open your gifts this Christmas and you're disappointed, remember the good gift that comes, the greatest gift that comes. If it doesn't fit, remember the gift that fits always and always, all times. Don't be discouraged. Don't lose hope, for our God is faithful. As Paul wrote to the Romans, now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you believe, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. May that prayer come true for you this Advent day. May that prayer come true for you this Christmas season. May that prayer be true for you for your life. May the Prince of Peace bring you great joy today. Amen.